Welcome to Expert Opinion, the Branding Business Forum, where leaders share their views, insights, and experiences from the world of B2B branding. And now, here's your host.
Good afternoon, I'm Ray Beard, and today I'm delighted, very much excited to interview August Turek. August is a longtime B2B entrepreneur. He's a branding expert and a business consultant and an award-winning author. August attributes much of his success to business, to living, and working alongside the Trappist Monks of Metkin Abbey, South Carolina. And in spending time at Metkin Abbey, where the monks live and work, they maintain a successful portfolio of business. August has some really interesting takeaways that can be helpful to leaders and traditional companies, and especially for, you know, the branding business listeners in the B2B marketplace. Just a little bit about August. He has been featured, if you haven't heard some of his recent stories, you know, in the Wall Street Journal, Fast Company, Forbes, New York Times, and now on Branding Business. And he's going to share some insights from this wonderful book that I just started to read and was just captivating, Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks. And it's one CEO's quest for meaning and authenticity, something that we've talked, you know, a few times in Branding Business. So welcome, August. Welcome to Branding Business.
Hey, I'm glad to be with you guys. Thanks, Ray.
These words that really captured, you know, our attention is meaning and authenticity. And those words suggest that, you know, we're going to learn a lot from you here and our, you know, our time together. But let's start off by learning a little bit about your business experience. And, you know, the first questions as I started to read the book, and it was about, you know, Metkin Abbey, is I was kind of curious in the beginning, and for our listeners here, maybe explain a little bit how many monks there are, you know, what business that they're in, and what's kind of the daily routine, just to kind of set the table here.
Well, you kind of asked me two questions there. So real quickly, I'll talk about my own background. Companies like I came up through the cable TV sales and marketing, and up through cable TV with, I was at MTV when MTV started out, then called the Arson Entertainment Network. It's now the A&E Network. So I was with cable TV and companies like Bell Atlantic, et cetera. And then eventually I started my own software company in 1993. It was the classic garage startup with three of my partners. I actually delineated Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks, just how we started this company. And we ended up with two companies, and we sold those to an Israeli company in 2000, which turned around and then flipped those to both of our companies to BMC Software for $150 million in cash in the early 2000s. So that's my own particular business background. As you mentioned, I've been going to Metkin Abbey since 1996. I do want to be clear that I haven't lived there. I go there as a monastic guest. So I spend sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks. I've spent as long as 3 months there. But I'm not a monk, so let's be clear about that. And I visit there. I don't live there. And there's about 20 or 25 monks living at Metkin Abbey right now. Their average age is 70. They get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. They go to 8 church services a day. Their real charism or vocation is to be contemplatives, which means prayer is extremely important. But is also, as part of their, you know, charism or vocation, is to be self-supporting. They don't have some kind of lifeline to the Vatican where they get money every month. They have to be in business, and they've been in business for over 1,000 years. All the monasteries are self-supporting, and I actually saw another book in the Wall Street Journal talking about it last week, about some people are tracing capitalism back to the monks, not back to Adam Smith. So I started asking myself some fundamental questions, because their motto is ora et labora, which means prayer and work. And a lot of people are interested in the monks because of their prayer side, but not anybody was really interested in their business side. So although I didn't go there originally for business reasons, eventually I got more and more interested because of my own business orientation. I started asking myself some fundamental questions. How can these guys, average age of 70, working 4 hours a day, doing it mostly in silence, have this incredible portfolio of businesses, of timber, of mushrooms, of eggs, of fertilizers, gift shops, and pull it off so incredibly smoothly and so profitably? And that's what led to an article in Forbes, which then became my book, Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks.
Well, I think that's a great setup in terms of, you know, for our listeners here, around the, you know, kind of the takeaway. So as you started to, you know, to live and to learn, you know, from them, what are some of the takeaways that would be relevant to, you know, CEOs and marketers that are trying to build their brands? And maybe take us through a few of those, you know, the principles at Mefkin Avenue and that's most relevant for, you know, for our listeners.
Well, the most important thing about the monks that I learned is it's in your own self-interest to forget your self-interest. The monk's entire way of life is dedicated to service, what I call service and selflessness. They serve God, they serve their fellow man, they serve their, each other in community. So have this incredible ethos of service. And when this spills over, into serving customers, serving government regulators, serving local people in your community, serving your lay employees, they have some lay employees. When you get put all this, guess what? It turns out to be a tremendous way of getting a lot of repeat business and over time building an incredibly, incredibly powerful brand. They spend nothing on branding. Yet, yeah. if you check it out, one of the strongest worldwide brands, if you use the word Trappist, you know, people think of the highest quality products available. So this just spills over. It's a bottom up branding exercise that's built on a way of life, a way of living, a qualitative approach to life as opposed to a quantitative approach to life. In the preface of Business Secrets of Trappist Monks, I quote a USA Today article that says, piety, not profit, is what these monks seek. They break every rule in the book of the marketing of Business 101 except attention to quality.
Oh, I think that, you know, that's when I started to read the book. It was for a lot of people so, you know, counterintuitive in terms of, you know, that overall approach. What stood out for me is that, you know, quality being at the, you know, the center, and then certainly, you know, the community aspect, which was so selfless as an overall kind of, you know, mantra. And talking about mantras and missions, you know, one of the things that as we build, you know, B2B brands that is huge is the establishment of mission and vision and purpose. And there's a lot of, you know, vernacular in these businesses that, you know, that try to create this. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about, you know, their overall sense of how they create that, because they really seem to nail that. And having that, how important is that to them in terms of their overall business?
Well, you know, I think that's excellent because, you know, I actually got a really, I mentioned on Facebook that I was going to be on the, working with you guys today. And about branding, and I got a real good discussion going because I threw out the idea that the problem with most companies and most individuals, by the way, we all individually and personally have a brand, is that we think it's just what I said, that we have a brand. The monks don't have a brand. They are their brand. So that every single person that comes in touch with them in any way encounters quality. Encounters quality in the way they're treated in the line get to get food, the way their room is clean, and if you're a guest and you go down there, the way your room's been cleaned for you, every single thing. They are the brand. They live it. And the last chapter of my book is called Living the Life. And so you live every single day. Most people, and that's why I think branding, you know, most of the people that are on my Facebook page are business people. But even so, I got all this pushback, which was surprising to me because I love branding and brands. But their idea of branding is what a lot of people misuse it in business. It's not a technique. It's not a business methodology to get what you want. It's a way of communicating to the customer who you are.
You know, through the overall, you know, book when I was reading it is, you know, their ability to work, you know, really physically just working, you know, 4 hours, which was amazing in terms of the actual physical work. But everything else that they do around there just seems that they are so efficient understanding what they are. So what are a couple of the other branding lessons that, you know, that we could learn from the monks from a, you know, from a business standpoint?
Well, real quickly, let's go back. The first one that I was talking about was piety. And when I looked up the word piety, it comes from the Latin word for duty. And so the monks are not just pious in terms of God, they also have a sense of duty towards everyone, towards each other, again, and towards their community. So we were actually talking about, I gave a speech last night, we were talking about it afterwards. So duty is out of style in our society. But if you want to have a great brand, then will you think a lot about what is my duty to my customers, especially my customers? I'm a customer guy. Yes, I believe in being dutiful towards my stockholders and being dutiful towards my employees, but especially towards my customers. So I think that's the other thing is that USA said quality. Now I think that he meant, you know, their attention to quality. I think he meant that, that their products are high quality products, which is true. But I also think that it's because, that I take it in a broader sense. If you want to have a great brand, you attend to the qualitative rather than the quantitative aspects of business. Again, I'm not against the quantitative, but you balance it out by being extremely attentive to the details of the qualitative. Now, I say that the monks do everything with a prayerful attitude. And you can be an atheist and do everything with a prayerful attitude, too. And then you, when you do that, again, you're going to get a tremendous reputation. The next thing, the third thing, which I think is maybe the most important thing, is trust. Authenticity, to me, is having an authentic brand means a brand that people can trust. And the monks are tremendously trustworthy people. Most importantly, if they tell you they're going to do something, damn it, they're going to do that. And so you can know that you're going to get... The next thing that gets trust is consistency. The whole monastic way of life is built on a consistent, methodical, day after day, living the life. If your company is like that, where you're consistently putting out the same kind of product with the same kind, you know, giving people every single day the best that you have to offer, you're going to have a great brand. You know, you talked, we talked a little bit before we went on the air about the beer in Belgium that the monks said that Wall Street Journal says is the best in the world. They don't have any labels on the bottles. They do no advertising, no marketing. People line up in cars for miles to get two cases, which is all you're allowed to get of that beer.
Yeah, most brands.
Real, I'm saying, you know, I had two companies. I did a lot more marketing than that myself, but that's a real illustration of how powerful a brand can become if people believe in you.
Right, absolutely. So what are the biggest, you know, as you look at, what are the biggest mistakes companies make that the monks of Mekhen Abney would never experience? What are some of those things that, you know,
well,
that would
you know,
never
I always like to say that people
see,
think
you know,
a lot of what I'm talking about is motherhood and fluff. Well, first of all, you know, if you read my book, I talk about how I took all this stuff and I applied it to my own businesses. And I ended up, as I said, you know, we ended up being very, very, very successful. So I show people how to do this. But it's also not very alien. Let's look at it real quickly. Coming up through sales, every great, if I happen to say so myself, I was a hell of a salesman. I've been on the cover of Selling Magazine. But every great salesman knows the more he forgets about himself, forgets about his product, forgets about his commissions, and forgets about his quota, and concentrates instead on selflessly serving his customers' needs, the quotas and the commissions take care of themselves. When corporations focus on delighting customers, profits take care of themselves. Lou Mobley, my mentor, the IBM executive who founded the IBM Executive School, used to always say, profit is not the goal of a business. Profit is the yardstick we use to measure whether we're executing on the mission. The final example is, task of leadership is not to make me successful. The task of great leadership is to make other people successful. And if you as a leader fanatically focus on making other people successful, you will get promoted far faster than if you focus on your own success. So these are Trappist principles that make a heck of a lot of sense, intuitively should make sense to people when they think about it. Although on the surface, they're counterintuitive, right?
You know, definitely. I think a lot of the overall business leaders, if they just, you know, were able to, you know, to read your book and kind of, you know, reflect on their own organizations and use some of those principles, they just have a, you know, a wonderful different experience. But you're right. They are so counterintuitive in terms of, you know,
I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I'm getting fired up here a little bit. But to me, one of the greatest mistakes, and you guys have a tremendous role to play, one of the greatest mistakes that's really irritating to me is the vast majority of people don't understand what branding is. And I'm not talking about lay people. I'm talking about business people. You know that book came out about from the marketing guy at Google, and he was talking about Larry Page. In one of the earliest meetings that they had, he said he didn't want any we're not spending any money on branding. I don't believe in branding. If we can't win on quality, we don't deserve to be in business. And I thought to myself, somebody as sophisticated as Larry Page doesn't understand that what he's really just saying is, I want our brand to be quality. And if somehow or another he thinks there's a contradiction between branding and quality. And the reason he believes that, though, is because the vast majority of people in business see branding as a technique, as some kind of a way in which I can manipulate the customer into thinking something about our company that may or may not be true. And well, that's why you get these reactions from people like Larry Page.
Wonderful advice. We've only got, you know, and I would love to have you come back on the, you know, on the show for, you know, for some further dialogue. What are the last kind of, you know, maybe final thoughts to, you know, to marketers and branders out there in the business? What's kind of, you know, the last kind of snapshot that you'd like to leave them with as they look at their brands, you know, moving forward?
Well, again, I said, you know, people like Warren Buffett and the monks of Metcalfe Abbey are not successful despite the fact that they live for a higher purpose. But because they do. They're not successful despite the fact that they have the highest ethical standards, but because they do. So I use the term aim past the target. Aim for something bigger than success in business, and the byproduct and trailing indicator will be success in business. Einstein said no problem can be solved at the same level of consciousness at which it is posed, and you're not going to be successful in business with a business solution. You need, like the monks, a higher mission, a higher purpose, a higher goal that spills over into your brand. And
I like what
Steve Jobs said. I want to make a dent in the universe.
Well, August, I think, you know, the one thing that's going to stick with me is aim past the target. And, you know, and I read a lot of different books, and this one is actually, you know, captivating. And the purpose, the mission, and the vision part, if more, you know, companies would find it, you know, to get that right, I think a lot of things, you know, fall in place. So behalf of, you know, for our listeners, we wanted to thank you. I think these insights are just, you know, invaluable for B2B marketers. We appreciate you joining us on Branding Business. We'd love to have you back. And if you get the opportunity to read Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks, I think you'll have a little bit different overall take on branding. All right, August, thanks again for participating with Branding Business. For our listeners, how do they, two questions, how do they get in touch with you, and what other stuff can they start to read from you?
Well, first of all, they can get Business Secrets of the Trappist Monks on Amazon.com or any place fine books are sold. Also, I have a website, www.augustlikethemonk.com. That's August Turek, one word, .com. And finally, I write for Forbes.com on leadership. I'm a leadership contributor for Forbes.com, and you can get a lot of my articles that I've written for Forbes there.
Perfect. Aim past the target. Thank you, August.